This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Book the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, the Capitals, they have definitely been busy this past week. And again, this team feels like a brand new team. People are coming, people are going. We really can't figure out where everybody is, what's going on. It's just a lot of movement. But joining me as always to talk all about it, Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I was actually just thinking before we started recording, do I know everybody that's on the team right now? Like, I know all the players. Like, if you're like, do you know who this is? I'd be like, yeah. But I'm like, do I know all, like, who's physically, like, if I was going to guess the roster, if we're going to do a sporkle of the roster, if you remember that website, I don't know if I could pull it off right now. Yeah. I mean, I can't because I have our notes in front of us. But if I didn't, I don't know if I could pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know the big names. You know, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, Alexander Ovechkin, maybe Tom Wilson. But other than that, there's a lot of fair weather fans or bandwagon fans are going to be like, wait, there's a guy named Axel on this team?
All right, let's not call out our own fans, man.
I mean, come on. It is.
At one point, the Caps needed them. I mean, every team has their fair weather fans.
There's sure.
Anyways. But I think
A couple years since they won the Cup. So some people that were fans in 2018 have definitely jumped off that bandwagon.
Well, I think a lot of people have jumped off doing things bandwagon given the pandemic. No, but I think it's bad that they have these injuries, but it's good that they have this depth in the organization that you can bring up guys like an Axel Janssen-Fjällby, who wasn't even on the team for a week at one point, or part of the organization, I should say. You can bring up a guy or give a guy more minutes like Connor McMichael. You can bring up a guy like a Brett Leeson, like an Alexi Protas, and give them some minutes, not necessarily enough minutes because Laviolette's not necessarily as comfortable. But they also are playing their rookie, literally an all-rookie line because they don't really have another option. I guess you could mix and match them, but then you're messing with all the other lines so much. But when you're missing two of your top six, three of your top nine, and two of your, you know, very good four centers, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're doing pretty well, but they're really going into a tough stretch coming up. It's what, 6 of 7 are on the road and 7 and 11 nights. That's tough.
That is really,
whether you're
really
completely healthy or not. And when you're down 4 important players on your team in Nick Backstrom, in TJ Oshie, Anthony Mantha, and now Nick Dowd, and potentially Vitek Vanacek, I don't know if he's going to be injured, like out, but I don't know if he's going to be playing the next game because of his arm. This is a tough spot for this team. And it gives these young guys an opportunity to come in, and you look at a guy like Connor McMichael, he's taking advantage of the situations that he's being given. He's got his first NHL goal. In the game against Florida, he's putting up some points with assists, and he's getting more and more comfortable in the NHL. You're looking at Brett Leeson. He's got, what, 2 goals at this point?
Yeah.
He's looking comfortable. And I think if these guys can keep it up, these rookies are going to make it harder for Laviolette to keep them out of the lineup when the other guys come back. And I think that's their plan. That needs to be their plan, is that when it comes time for Backstrom, for Mantha, for Oshie, for Dowd to come back, is it going to be a tough decision? Or are you going to be like, whoo, finally, okay, all right, we can start playing hockey again? Or is Laviolette going, you know, might move one of these guys out because these young guys can play and we can use the cap space? You know, do you move out a guy like a Carl Hagelin because you have Janssen-Fjällby? I don't know. You know, it saves some cap space. But Janssen-Fjällby's played 1 game, so let's kind of see how that goes first before we start, you know, saying he's the new answer for the fourth line. Nor do I necessarily think you want to mess with that line of Hagelin, Dowd when he's healthy in Hathaway.
Well, but I mean, you're going to have to mess with that line now with Nick Dowd on injury reserve.
Do you want to permanently mess with them by plugging in a Janssen-Fjällby or a Leeson or a Protas or whoever on that line? I don't know. it's a tough spot in terms of when everyone comes back, who's going to play and who's not. And I imagine a couple of the young guys are going to go back down, but they've showed that, you know what, when the offseason comes up and you've got some decisions to make, if you're the Capitals, in terms of who you're going to re-sign, maybe you're not thinking so much about re-signing an older guy. Maybe you or hanging on to an older guy. Maybe you're looking to move someone out because you've got a young guy who can play in that spot.
It's very interesting, and it's kind of fun. I mean, I know we're making fun of bandwagon fans, that kind of stuff or whatever, but it is kind of fun as a Caps fan because we have had such a core group for so long. You know, we've kind of gotten used to who we see on the ice every day. And to have these new names, you kind of look at Samantha Pell or somebody else or Steven Wino or somebody who's at morning skate. And you'll be like, wait, who's there now? And you kind of have to go like, oh, right, I've heard about this guy. He's supposed to be really good in Hershey. It's kind of fun to watch these players and see how they have developed in Hershey. So we do have, like you said, an all-rookie line right now. The third line is Axel Janssen, Fialbi, Connor McMichael, and Brett Leason. That's very interesting, that the fact that we have an entirely rookie line. Have these guys worked well together in Hershey? Have they had, you know, are they comfortable with each other? Who knows what'll happen with that line? And it looks like we're going to have a guy like Protas come up and replace Nick Dowd on the fourth. It's very interesting, and you want to see that. We've talked about this. The guys down in Hershey have been left in the oven a little too long. You know, they've been overcooked, as they like to say.
Have they?
Are they as tough as a well-done steak? I mean, that's what we want to know. And we're
I'm like going to be ordering dinner pretty soon. Can you stop talking about food? Because I'm already hungry.
I thought you were about to like defend a well-done steak.
No. No, you're not helping the fact that I'm hungry.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with these guys because they have been chomping at the bit, I would hope, down in Hershey to be like, I want to come up to the big leagues. And they've had to kind of sit and wait. Now it's their time to shine. What are these guys going to do? Like you said, they're coming up and they've got a really tough schedule coming up. And this November is not going to be easy on them at all. I mean, talk about like, you know, jumping into the deep end of the pool. That's what these guys have to do. It's kind of like a sink or swim mentality because, like you said, there's some depth. There's nothing stopping the Capitals from taking a guy who maybe isn't working out at the Caps level, putting him back down in the minors, and bringing up and seeing like, all right, let's see how this guy works. You know, it's kind of like throw everything at the wall and see what sticks at this point.
To an extent, I think that's fair. I mean, I think they know what they're getting out of the players in Hershey, and they've got some veteran guys that are obviously still playing, and you're talking about Ovechkin and Kuznetsov and Wilson are out there, but their depth is definitely being tested. But I think, you know, they have young guys that can come up, and the nice thing is that the young guys are producing, and they're actually, to an extent, producing better than the veterans that they're replacing. If you look at, you know, the third line hasn't been third, fourth line, whatever their sort of shutdown line of Hagelin, Dowd, Hathaway, they're doing well defensively. They're just not producing offensively as much as you would like. And the young guys are potentially going to be able to produce a little bit more offensively. But you also want to see them be able to keep that up. We saw, you know, LaPierre go and score in the first game. And you're like, whoa, all right, this kid looked really comfortable. Maybe he's ready to go. He's going to be here the whole season. They just sent him down today. He's back in the Quebec Major Junior League.
He kind of, his Jets kind of got cooled off a little bit after that first game.
That's not necessarily the worst thing.
Yeah, he played all right in
game. He's what, 12?
Yeah, he's the same age as your kid.
So he's 2. Okay, that makes sense. It's very impressive. No, but he definitely has shown that he's likely to be on this team next season. That he's got a ton of talent.
Maybe not even next season, like if this team were to make it into the postseason, could we see him as like one of the black aces? You know,
certainly.
In the post.
If his season up there with, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Cade Bathurst, if their season is over and they want to bring, you know, the Caps want to bring him in as a black gate, by all means do it. Like, bring him in so he can continue, because at that point he's not missing out on anything except for an off season.
Right. I mean, that's what happened with Tom Wilson. He came from where was he? He was with the Erie Otters. He was playing there, and then their season ended, so he went to the Hershey Bears, played one game there, and they got eliminated. And then he came up and played in the postseason for the Capitals in the playoffs. That's how he started his NHL career. The Caps have done this in the past.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time they've brought a guy up who then, you know, goes and is playing a lot pretty quickly. And, you know, maybe they brought him up a little too early, but it worked out in the end. But I think when you look at it, you know, they have these young guys who are playing right now, and a lot of people will get his chance in the future. But if you look at this team, you know, Hathaway in 12 games has no points. Dowd has one goal. Hagelin has two assists. That's it. Leeson's already got 3 points in 5 games. McMichael's got 5 and 10. The younger guys are producing offensively more than the other guys. You know, Jonsson Fjällby's only played one, so he still has an opportunity.
He did get the axe from John Carlson, though, as like whatever they're passing that around in the locker room.
The axe and the shield from Vikings? Yeah.
I want to know who's packing that every game, because that shield is
whoever,
huge.
TSN. TSA is probably having a conversation with them every time they fly somewhere. But, you know, you want to see more production from these older guys, Hathaway, Dowd, Hagelin, and you're not. And at some point, that becomes a concern, even if they're playing really well defensively. Because Ovechkin right now, he's got 21 points in 12 games.
Right.
Kuznetsov's got 16 and 12. Like, I don't know if you're necessarily going to see him keeping that up throughout the rest of the season. So secondary scoring is beginning to become a pretty big concern. Mantha had 2 goals in 10 games. He's got 4 assists, but he's only got 2 and 10. That's a problem. That's not the biggest problem, but that's concerning, you know. We're seeing Eller's got no goals. He's got 4 assists in 12 games. That's a problem. Sprong's only got 3 points in 11 games. That's a problem. You know, Leeson's got as many points as Sprong in just under half the amount of games. So there's a couple guys on this team that need to start producing offensively. We need some secondary scoring. And if it's going to be the young guys, you know, is McMichael getting a jersey over a Sprong? Is Leeson going to make it impossible to send him back down? Is he getting a jersey over Sheary? I don't know, obviously, because I'm not the coach, even though you call me that. But we'll see what happens going forward, because if the young guys are producing and these other guys are not, I think the other guys are going to be signing themselves up in the press box.
Yeah,
or potentially shipped out.
I mean, I don't know if that's the way that Coach Laviolette works, though, because look at the goalie situation. I don't know. You look at the goalie situation we have right now with Sammy and Vitek. I know Vitek is a little beat up right now, but with those two guys, Sammy had a shutout, and the next game, Vitek is in net. So it's not like, all right, well, Sammy's playing well. He's a hot hand. You know, they're not sticking with him. They're just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So I don't know if that's the way Coach Laviolette works, though. I don't know if he's going to be like, all right, these young guys are really playing well. We're going to keep them in instead of leave the veterans out. I think he's kind of like, all right, this is our team. This is what we need to do. You're in, you're out. I don't know. Laviolette has been the coach of the Caps team during the pandemic year where there were no fans. It was a shortened season. It was weird. I feel like this is the first time we're really getting to see how his brain kind of works.
I think if you compare the goalies while also comparing the goalies to the wingers, to the forwards, to the skaters, I don't know if I necessarily think it's a fair comparison, because you have two talented young goalies and they both can't play at the same time.
Right.
Right? And they're both producing to an extent versus players that aren't producing. And I think when it comes down to it, if let's use Sprong as an example. If he's not producing, but Leeson keeps putting up points, or is putting up points at a higher rate, then I think he has no choice but to put one of the younger guys in. Like, it's going to come down to the decision is going to be made for him.
If you're the coach, though, like, how far do you go? Because if you do that, you're talking about Daniel Sprong. Say you might have him in the press box and have one of the young guys producing. How far do you go, though? Because Lars Eller, who is a top six guy, he's moved up to kind of the Backstrom role a little bit. He has not had a good year so far. I know we're only, what, a month in? maybe a little less than a month in of this season, and it's kind of like a little sample size. But Lars Eller, he hasn't been the greatest player on the ice yet this year. So do you bench him? I don't know. It's, you bring up an interesting point, but how far do you go? Like, is it, all right, Ovi, you haven't actually scored in two games, we're gonna see bench you. I don't see that happening.
I don't think we're gonna see them bench the guy that's currently chasing Gretzky's record,
right? Like, and delivering. I don't pizza foresee to that the happening. Media members. Yeah.
I think it goes to an extent. It depends. Honestly, I think it goes as deep as their position, right? So if they don't have a center that can replace Eller, he's not coming out, especially with Dowd and Backstrom out.
Right.
Like, I don't think Eller loses his spot unless they make a trade for someone that can produce at a higher rate than he is, and I don't see the team doing that at this point. You know, I think it's going to be over the next couple of games. I think this road trip's going to be interesting to look at in terms of the young guys and how they produce and how some of the guys that are not producing, how they do. Because, like I said, if Leason keeps producing and McMichael keeps producing, I think Sheary and Sprong are looking at going, uh-oh, we need to start stepping it up, you know, a little bit. Sheary right now, he's got 4 points in 12 games. He's a minus two. My concern actually with Eller, I mean, he's doing okay. He's 51% in the faceoff circle. It's not terrible. McMichael actually currently is like 36% in faceoffs. That's a little bit of a problem for a guy who wants to play center.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, real first year in it, so I'm not that worried about it at this point. Hopefully those numbers will continue to trend up.
And I know Coach Laviolette did come out about McMichael saying the more that he sees him play, the more confident he is getting. So I think the fact that he was able to get over that hump with his first goal, I think, you know, it's only going to go up for this kid.
His first goal, it was great, and I think that definitely can help boost your confidence. But the pass to Leason's first goal, I think it was his first one. Might have been his second one. And he's only got two, so it's one or the other. That was almost like a veteran player. That was, I feel like if you're a young guy who's not confident, you're not making that pass. Whereas he's going behind the net, he still kind of tucked the pass back around behind him to an extent. Right. Like, that's a confident play of a guy who knows his skill level and is confident that he's going to pull that off. And I like that from McMichael. And I like this rookie line because these are guys that are confident and they're playing with a lot of, with some level of skill. But they're playing with a lot of almost ignorance to an extent because they haven't had the experience in the NHL, and so they're just going for it. Because to an extent, they almost have nothing to lose. Like, worst case is they go back to Hershey and put up good numbers.
Right.
Or they can continue. So they're working hard, and they're hopefully going to produce. And, yeah, it would, you know, it's unfortunate for a guy like a Connor Sheary or a Daniel Sprong if they're not producing, they get replaced by a young guy. But that's the reality of sports. If you're not producing, you're not going to get to play, at least not on a team that has – something to play for or something they want to play. I mean, this isn't Arizona where they're potentially in a rebuild or, you know, retooling or whatever they're doing with their team out there. This is a team that has aspirations of winning a cup. And to do that, you have to produce, and you can't wait around necessarily for someone who isn't producing. So the goalies, I think, is a little different. And I want to go back to that in terms of, I feel like Vanecek is the solid number one right now and Samsonov's the backup. I think that's the way they're looking at it right now. And that's why Vitek keeps getting more games. And I don't think that means that Samsonov's like going to be the guy shipped out after the season or during the season. But they're not. Let me double check. But I don't think they're at par for an age, right? Vanecek's 25. Samsonov's 24. So, I still think it's funny that on Cap Friendly it says they traded for Vanecek. Like, technicality.
Technically, they did.
Technically, yes. But I feel like at this point, how they acquired him. Because they actually have you acquired everybody, which is interesting looking at like how many guys they've drafted versus traded or what. They have a decent amount of guys that they drafted themselves. But that's a technicality. Like, was he really ever with Seattle? He never even went out there. Did he even go on like Google Maps to look at like, you know, what the streets in the city look like? Did he even go on Redfin to look at houses? Like, I don't know. Or apartments?
Yeah, they're going to have Seattle in about a week and a half, so they're going to be going to VTech for all the inside secrets of, like, what can they tell us about this team?
He's going to go, I don't know.
I know as much as you guys.
Yeah, I'm probably less at this point. I wasn't even looking at any of it. So, no, I think VTech's the number one, Samsonov's number two, but that can easily change, and, you know, they can go back to a 1A, 1B. I think they're looking at VTech as their guy right now in terms of, like, if the playoffs started tomorrow, Vanecek starting game one.
Well, yeah. I agree with you at that point. However, This is a very big concern for me. I love VTech, double V. I mean, I think he's a great player. I loved what I saw him when he was in South Carolina. The fact that he's been with the organization for 5 years or so, I think that's really impressive. But can Sammy or VTech, can either of these guys stay healthy? That's a really big concern. VTech really should have been able to shine last year against the Bruins in the playoffs. And first game, first period, he was out. And Sammy had COVID twice and had disciplinary problems as well and had all these issues. And then he was out for groin issues throughout that shortened season last year. That's why VTech was playing 13 games in a row to start the season last year. Can these guys stay healthy? That does worry me. Right now, VTech is out. And VTech is he's a solid player, but right now he's hurt again. That's why they had to bring up goaltender Zach Fucale. And
Fucale!
They said, like, there's a chance that he's going to be playing one of these games coming up because, if I'm not mistaken, let me pull up the schedule real quick. It is a back-to-back on Thursday, Friday. So, I mean, there's a chance that this Hershey Bear, who I think just got his 500th game in the AHL level this past weekend, he could be playing in the NHL on Thursday or Friday against Detroit or against Columbus as the backup, because we don't know if VTech's going to be ready to go. Could this be a precaution? I don't know. They are traveling with three goaltenders right now, so only time will tell. But I don't know. It does worry me in the goalie situation that neither of these guys can stay healthy for a strong or a long stretch of time.
That is a fair point in terms of that. And although currently I don't know if it's quietly fair, because Vanacek's had his arm fallen on and that's what got hurt. And like, that's kind of an injury that's not necessarily avoidable. Like if he's stretching out and he pulls a muscle, I feel like that's concerning. Like maybe his body is just not built to withstand a full season or things like that. But it's like
in the playoffs, that's what happened, right? He had to stretch for a save and he pulled a muscle.
And like, that to me is more concerning for him long-term in terms of you questioning his ability to stay healthy versus someone falling on his arm awkwardly and then it's hurt. Like, you know, it's not necessarily his fault. So, you know, we'll see how long he's out. I think they brought in Fucale as a precautionary measure in that, you know, they said, bring a suit. You're going to practice. I don't think he's going to play. My guess is that VTech gets one of those games. But we'll see. He can wake up tomorrow and be like, oh, my arm fell off. You know, you don't know what's going to happen next. So we'll see what happens with him.
Of the two games coming up, it's Detroit and it's Columbus. I would assume you would want the less experienced player to be up against Detroit than Columbus. So we'll really know, I guess, on Thursday.
Is Columbus struggling, or am I remembering that wrong?
Columbus, they're only two behind the Caps right now in the Metro.
Yeah, but Detroit have the same amount of points.
They have seven
Detroit's
wins.
Got 16 points.
They actually have one more win than the Caps do, to be honest.
Yeah, well, the Caps keep freaking losing games in overtime.
Yeah, yeah, it's a bit of a concern.
So, the overtime thing is, like, first, in overtime, it'd be great if they get the freaking puck, and then they have a chance to score, but they don't. They let the other team play around with the puck, and then they get tired, and they get scored on. So the overtime is a problem right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
And the Caps love overtime.
So, yeah, if you love overtime, you need to be good at it.
Right.
I like the idea of going to a 3 points for a win, 1 point for an overtime. Like, not forces, but it does put more onus on the regulation win.
I like that a lot.
The Caps are getting a bunch of, like, here you go. Here's a point. You did a good job.
Give me points. You know,
There's a lot of participation trophies going on with these overtime points for the Caps right now, and that's a problem.
And that's probably why that we've seen the Caps bow out of the first round of the playoffs in many of these years, because they're getting all these points that they really didn't earn.
Yeah. They earned a point because they got to overtime, especially in the games where they had to come back. Are they shutting, or not shutting down, but easing the foot up off the gas a bit when it comes to overtime? Yeah. You know, it's tough to say because we're not in the locker room. We're not there every day. But it's currently, there's a trend, and it's not going in the right direction in terms of their production during overtime. So that's certainly a problem.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that has to do with not having the core group of guys there. There's no Backstrom. There's no Oshie. Mantha, I mean, I don't know if you really call him a core guy. He's so new, but, you know, he's a big body. He's doing his thing. So, I don't know.
Can I make a prediction? We'll
okay.
Mantha is gone before the next trade deadline.
Really?
Not this year, next year.
Oh. So not the next trade deadline.
I just, and I'm probably 100% wrong on this. I have an inkling that this doesn't work for whatever reason. Like, it just doesn't work. It has nothing to do with Hamish. Maybe his style of play doesn't fit with the way that Laviolette wants to play, and they move him out for someone else.
I mean, I understand why the deal was made. He was around the same age as Varana. He was a bigger body. You know how much Brian McClellan likes the big bodies. He came in, guns a-blazing, got 4 goals in 4 games. I mean, looked absolutely fantastic, but he's another guy whose Jets have kind of cooled off a lot since he showed up here. So, I don't know.
And
does
this is pure speculation on my part. I probably, like normal, am 100% wrong. So we'll see. He's not a flashy guy, and I think it's hard to be another flashy guy on a team that has Alex Ovechkin.
Right.
Like, that's just not, you're not, no one is outstaging him in terms of being flashy.
Right.
Except for maybe Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, but that's a whole other thing, and you don't even know what that is. but when it comes to Mantha, I just, from what I've seen after the first couple of games, I don't see him as a goal scorer or a sniper necessarily. And I kind of feel like this team could use something like that.
Right.
You know, I just, 2 goals in 10 games, you know, and he's a bigger body. Maybe he's more of a power forward. And that could be what the team needs. I feel like we're not getting as much production out of him as we should be getting, especially considering his cap hit is $5.7 million. And that he's taking up on a normal time. Oh, I hope it's on here. He's taking up 7% of the team's salary cap. And this is a team that's, you know, normally right up above it. Or right up above it. Right up on it when everyone's healthy. Actually, when everyone's healthy, they'll be over it at the moment. That's going to have some interesting decisions when Backstrom comes back.
Which we haven't seen anything about Backstrom, have we?
Well, he's been skating. He's been practicing a little bit, but I don't think he's
not with the team, though.
You know, I'm not sure.
I think he's just...
I think if he's no contact.
Yeah, I think he's just before practice kind of skating around a little bit. Which, because we're talking about Backstrom doing that right now, he's playing tomorrow.
Oh my God, that would be such a surprise. He comes out, they're like, oh, it's Backstrom. Although I think it's an away game, right? They're
in
Detroit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes.
So, it'll be great to have when he comes back. But in regards to Mantha, I'm not feeling it necessarily with him. Like, he's not putting enough points for me for what I would like from a guy who's making that kind of money. Now, I understand I'm saying the exact same. He's got the exact same point total, although reversed. Oshie's got 4 goals, 2 assists versus 2 goals, 4 assists for Mantha. And Oshie makes like $50,000 more, or his cap hit is $50,000 higher. I think the difference is Oshie's scoring goals, which is what the team needs. I don't feel like Mantha is doing that as well. So, I don't know. I could be completely off. It could be fair to say, hey, if they're playing together, they're not playing together. So, I feel like I need to see a higher production from Mantha, especially given he's younger than Oshie and should be getting right into the prime of his career. Now, he's 27 versus Oshie being 30. Where is Oshie? How old is he? 33? 34. So, you want to see Mantha really... But, shush. I think I'm older than everyone on the team. Yep. By a year. But when's Ovechkin's birthday?
September.
Yeah, by a year. A little over a year. With a year, a month, and like 16 days. Anyways, moving on. Everyone just can kind of figure out my birthday. yeah, so I don't know. Part of me, I'm not feeling it with Mantha at this point. And, you know, maybe he comes back with this injury and he lights it up. And I'm like, well, never mind. I'm feeling it now. But at the moment, I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll figure out what happens with these guys next. I mean, this feels like a brand new team to me. It really does. It feels like you know, you really don't know what to expect from any of these players except for Ovi, and you just expect him to score goals, which really ticked off Brett Hull's son, by the way. I don't know if you saw that, but...
No. What?
Really ticked off his son. Brett Hull's son took the clip of Ovi tying the record and gave it a 3 thumb down emojis on Twitter, and apparently Russia went nuts and attacked the guy like crazy over on
apparently
the
Russia can't take a joke.
Yes, can't take a joke whatsoever. So they were very angry at his unhappiness that Ovi tied his dad's record. So a little crazy over there in Russia. But anything else we should cover in Caps
World?
No. All right.
What? Let's see. Well, we talked about Axel Janssen Fjällby. It's kind of funny. He made his NHL debut against Buffalo, considering he was there for 7 days.
It was a revenge
if
game.
That long. And I feel like he'd probably still be there if the visa issue, which I still don't quite understand. And I just don't understand how this works. So he had a visa issue, which didn't allow him to play for the Sabres, but he can play for the Capitals?
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
So let me ask you a question, Brandon. Buffalo, still a part of the United States, correct?
Let me Google that. And yes. Yes, it is.
Okay, so I just don't understand how that works. It's probably the case. Someone somewhere is like, you're an idiot.
Because they were so like, close to the works. Border.
Can we also talk about... It is very close. It's like an hour or so?
Guilty by association.
That's tonight. I made an if fool out of myself over the weekend on Twitter and then got made fun of by someone, I think, from the UK. But anyways, we can talk about that later. But that goes into me being someone being like, you're dumb and this is how visas work. And I'm like, how would I know that?
Ah.
I don't know, but I think that's it for Caps World at the moment.
All right. Well, hey, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 1-1-1.
Yeah.
With a win over Springfield. At least they're consistent.
Woohoo!
Confusing. I don't know. That didn't make any sense. Moving on. Bears currently have 13 points, which puts them in third in the Atlantic, 3 back of first place Springfield, but still very early in the season. They'll be back at it tonight, that being Wednesday, hosting Lehigh Valley at the Giant Center. Then they'll be on the road in Syracuse on Saturday, before hosting Charlotte on Sunday. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 3-0 with 2 wins over Jacksonville and 1 over Greenville. They're currently third in the South with 8 points, 2 back of first place Norfolk. I still really like the Norfolk Admirals logo.
Yeah, you keep bringing that one up.
It's
it is a
very
good one.
Clean. Nothing against South Carolina, but I'd love to have an affiliation a little bit closer to home.
Yeah.
I just think it would be cool. Anyways, they'll be back at it on Friday, hosting Atlanta at the North Charleston Coliseum before welcoming Orlando for back-to-back home games over the weekend. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go to the NHL and beyond. All right, everybody, here we go. We are going to the NHL and beyond. Lots of stuff going on in the hockey world, not just in the NHL, but all over the place. And Coach Dan's going to let us know what's going on, Coach. I don't know how to even like what to say next because it's Coach Dan, take us to the NHL and beyond. I don't know. Workshop that.
Let's just going to repeat it. You could say let's go around the NHL and beyond because it kind of like that's what we're doing, but anyways, okay,
yeah, we'll figure it out.
Let's do a thing. All right, well, let's start with a trade, the trade that finally happened. The Jack Eichel saga is over, ladies and gentlemen. Not that I think at this point no one really cared anymore. They were like, just trade him. We don't care.
Everyone was saying free Odell Beckham. All the hockey fans were saying free Jack Eichel.
It's just like, not even free him. Just do something. Trade him, play him, let him get a surgery. Just, Jesus, making something happen. Moving on. He finally got dealt. He's on his way. Well, he's probably already there at this point. He got moved out to Vegas.
Did you see the video of him arriving in Vegas?
No.
Oh, my God, dude. It's hysterical. You need to look this up. He shows up at the hotel like in the back of, I don't even know what it was, like a Range Rover or whatever. And they had like the Golden Knight night. They had their mascot. They had all of the cheerleaders at the hotel welcoming him to town. And he gets out, and I think the knight gave him a Golden Knight hat. So he had to take the black hat he had on, throw that in the car, and then put the Golden Knight hat on. So, I mean, they're very happy to have him in Vegas.
Well, first of all, it's Vegas, so everything's got to be a freaking production. Right. But he's a superstar. He's a top-name talent. He's a very good player. And for their sake, he better continue to be after this surgery because they're pulling all the stops. But to an extent, like, say it doesn't work out. It's like, well, it's Vegas. What were they going to do? They were just going to, like, greet him at the airport with a handshake. Like, they were going to make a production out of it because that's what they do. It's Las Vegas. But they acquired Eichel as well as a 2023 third-round pick for forwards Alex Tuch and Peyton Krebs, as well as a 2022 first-round pick and a 2023 second-round pick. Let's head to Chicago, where they cleaned house as they fired head coach Jeremy Colleton and assistant coaches Thomas Mitchell and Sheldon Brookbank. Now, they promoted their AHL affiliates head coach Derek King to be the interim head coach. Tampa's Mikhail Sergachev was suspended for 2 games for an illegal check to the head of Toronto's Mitch Marner. That's not very nice.
Don't hit people in the head.
Yeah, it's rude. Unless it's in an action movie, then it seems to be fine. Philadelphia's Derek Brassard was fined $2,000 for unsportsmanlike conduct of the Capitals' Garnett Hathaway. I don't remember seeing that, but I might have been putting my son to bed at that point. I'm not sure. That tends to be second periods are a little iffy for me lately. That's about his bedtime. In international news, on November 4th, the IIHF announced the schedule for the 2022 World Junior Championship. The 10-team tournament, which includes Canada, Austria, the Czech Republic, Finland, and Germany, they'll be based out of Edmonton. They're part of Group A, while Group B, based out of Red Deer, is comprised of Russia, Switzerland, Slovakia, Sweden, and the United States. Now, this tournament's going to begin on Boxing Day. Brandon, do we call it Boxing Day here in the U.S.? And I
didn't
know that.
Well, I mean, technically, we don't have it here in the U.S., but like it's on all the calendars.
Why is it called Boxing Day?
That is when all of the Canadians...
It's when everyone's boxing up all of their presents they got that they don't want sent back. Got it.
They also, because they're very considerate over in Canada, up in Canada, that is the day that they take all of the boxes they got their gifts in and put them out for recycling instead of throwing them away.
You're going to make the people work the next day.
I mean, that's what Canada
does.
So
I did a quick Google. The name comes from a time. Watch one of our answers be correct. The name comes from a time when the rich used to box up gifts to... Oh, give to the poor.
So Canadian.
Boxing Day. Well, it's a UK thing, which is why I think it's now a Canadian thing.
Okay. Well, I mean...
Boxing Day was traditionally a day off for servants, and the day when they received... This is from literally just Google. I think it's from the BBC. Boxing Day was traditionally a day for servants, and when the day they received a special Christmas box from their masters... All right, this is getting a little weird. The servants would also go home on Boxing Day to give Christmas boxes to their families. Okay, so...
It's Christmas a day late.
Now I want that... Now I want that NBC... The more you know. Anyways, tournament will begin on December 26th with 4 games highlighting the opening day schedule. Tournament kicks off with Russia up against Sweden in Red Deer, while Finland takes on Germany in Edmonton. Evening games will see the hosts, Canada, play the Czech Republic, and the U.S. will face off against Slovakia. That's the news from the past week in the NHL and beyond!
All right, so now that we officially know Henrik Lapierre is in the junior leagues, are we going to see him on Boxing Day for Team Canada taking on the Czech Republic? I have to assume we will.
Yeah, I like you. I think we will as long as it's getting sent down to Akadi Bathurst. Akadi? Ryan!
Arcade help Fire?
Us out. Yes, as long as he's not getting upset about going to Arcade Fire, then we're calling it that now. Then I think he'll definitely be there you know, I think he wasn't quite ready for the NHL, and this is just this is the right move for him, so that way he can work on his game and be ready for next season.
Now, I wanted to ask you before we get out of this section of the show, the Jack Eichel trade. So I know the whole thing was he wanted to have a certain kind of surgery, or he didn't want to have a surgery. He wanted to get another form of medication or whatever, and the team wanted a different kind of surgery so he'd be back quicker. I'm assuming that Vegas is letting him do what he wants to do, but as an Olympic hockey fan, do we have any idea or the timetable of what his return to hockey would be? Is there potential that he could still make the Team USA hockey team for the Olympics in February?
I think I saw...
I have not followed this very closely, so I honestly do not know.
I want to say I saw February or March. They're anticipating him being back.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's back playing, back skating again, back practicing. Like, I don't recall, but I feel like I read... I think we're looking at, like, a late winter, early spring.
All right, so there's a good chance back. He misses the Olympics.
I think so.
Okay, that's a big bummer, because, I mean, think of Team USA as a Caps fan potentially having John Carlson, TJ Oshie on the team, but imagine Jack Eichel and Austin Matthews playing on the same team. Now, that would be a powerful duo, I have to assume, would be on the ice. I don't know how they would work together, but two very talented players, young players, for Team USA.
Yeah. I mean, the U.S. team, you know, every other... Rails got a good team.
Yeah.
You know, you got Sweden's always pretty good. Czech Republic's usually tough. Canada's obviously going to be very talented. You've got, you know, Finland's always up there playing pretty well. There's Slovakia's a good team. You know, it's not easy. Russia's Russia. So...
Oh, by the way, I did read this. This was on the Caps Reddit. Now, take this with a grain of salt, because this did come from a Russian website. But supposedly, the Russian hockey team is working very hard to get the IOC to allow Yevgeny Kuznetsov to actually play in the Beijing Olympics in February. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, or if that Russia website is telling the truth, but I don't know. There's potential. Maybe we might see Yevgeny playing in February in Beijing.
It sounds like there's a possibility, but I don't, you know, we'll see what happens. Having him get a little bit of a break isn't necessarily the worst thing.
That's true. We'll see what happens. So is that it for the show, Coach?
Yeah, I think it's time to wrap it up.
All right, guys. Well, if you continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff when I actually have an opportunity to. Also find me on there talking about Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, how they lost to the Jaguars over the weekend. I cannot understand. It's embarrassing. Occasionally talking Washington Football Team, how terrible they are this season, as well as, although they have a tough schedule, as well as occasionally other sports as things may come up. That's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you've enjoyed the show, if you enjoyed us rambling and talking about Caps hockey, go ahead and check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, occasionally the Hershey Cubs. That's kind of fun from time to time. I need to get a t-shirt next time I go up to a game and watch the Bears lose, because all I do is see them lose. I'm 0-5 lifetime. It's ridiculous. That's fine. I saw Facebook, facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod. But Brandon, I talked about how the Bills had a terrible weekend. down in Jacksonville. How do the Ravens do? Is there a podcast people should listen to? They enjoy the Ravens?
That's right. If you are a Baltimore Ravens fan, you should listen to my Ravens podcast called The Call. We just put out an episode on Wednesday, getting ready for the Thursday night football game up against the Miami Dolphins in Miami. So we're getting you all ready for that. Talk about how the fact that my beard has gotten grayer as the season happens, since the Ravens like to have us play into overtime and have stressful games and come from behind victories. I mean, they're still victories, so I can't really complain, but I don't know how much more my heart can take from you guys. Killing me. But anyway, you can check out my Ravens podcast called The Call. Now, this show we do for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. On Thursday, November 11th, the Caps are in Detroit in Motor City up against the Red Wings. That game is at 7:30. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then back-to-back games, the Caps go to Columbus on Friday, November 12th, up against the Blue Jackets. That game starts at 7 o'clock, NBC Sports Washington. And then on Sunday, 7 o'clock game, the Caps are up against the Penguins. First game, Caps-Penguins of the year. That's going to be a fun one to watch. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can see that on NBC Sports Washington. And then Coach Dan and I will be back. Actually, Coach, we got to look at this. We got games Tuesday, Wednesday. They're night games, but I don't know when we're going to be able to record. We'll figure it out. But anyway.
Thursday.
Yeah, I can't do that. We'll talk about it later.
The day after Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Anaheim, LA. We'll figure it out.
Oh, late games, we'll just record those days.
Yeah. So it won't be up-to-date information.
I'm not staying up. I got to get up at 6 something in the morning. Not watching those.
I got up at 4 today. I don't know why. My body just woke me up at 4, and I was like, all right, well, I'm up now. I don't get it. Ever since the pandemic.
That happens to me.
Ever since the pandemic started, dude, I've been getting up randomly at like 4, 4:30 in the morning and not being able to fall back asleep. Don't know why.
So that'll happen to me. I got to get up. I'll go pee. Then I go back to bed.
Sure. As you get older, you know, your bladder doesn't work as well as it did.
You're like less than a year younger than me. Shut up.
I got the same issues.
You are barely younger than I am.
All right. Well, hey, that's it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud. Actually, you know what? Ovi brought the media team pizza, Papa John's pizza, and said,
I ordered pizza for dinner partially because of that.
When you're hungry.
But I didn't get Papa John's because it's more expensive.
Yeah. When you hungry, you hungry. How about, hey, Ovi, we hungry. We hungry. Bring us pizza, man. Come on.
I'm waiting for mine. It's literally right now says baking.
It's baking. That's good. You get status updates. That's good. Did you DoorDash it or get it directly from the pizza place?
It's from Domino's.
Okay. So it's their own app. Oh, you have like a drone deliver it to you. That'd be cool.
Can I keep the drone?
That like self-driving car with the Noid?
I don't want the Noid.
The Noid. You got to avoid the Noid.
I just punch it.
Kids, back in the
I'm
day.
Punch the Noid, and I'm going to punch Hattrick. That's what's going to happen.
Back in the day, kids, the Noid was like the most popular mascot in the early 90s. So look him up. He's not new. He was. Don't give me that look.
I do not remember that.
Oh, come on. Come on. He had little action figures. They used to give it to you with your pizza. I still have some of those little things.
No idea what you're talking about.
The Noid, come
on. I remember the term avoid the Noid or whatever.
Right.
No idea. When they brought it back in the commercial, I was like, what is that thing?
Oh, God, you're so old.
That doesn't even make sense. I should remember it if I'm older than you.
No, you don't remember things when you're older. You don't. That's
a fair point.
I can't believe you don't remember the action figure. 1988. I definitely had this as a kid growing up. I'm gonna message you this. All right. Well, hey, that's it, everybody. We're going to go talk about the Noid. while you guys finish up the podcast. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.